This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, one of the best in the business from the SEC Network, baseball analyst Todd Walker, great player for the LSU Tigers. Todd, thanks so much for joining us again on the Big 870.
You're welcome. How are you?
We're doing great, Todd. Sinatra sang it years ago. It's all or nothing at all. And you can look at LSU in a year's time, and that's basically what you got. When you hot, you hot, and when you not, you not. And the hot team in Louisiana, we had him on last week at this time, Coach Deggs at University of Louisiana, Raging Cajuns, and he was like, Mike, never said it better. You know, when you hot, everything goes right, and when you not, nothing goes right.
Yeah, I love me some Matt Deggs. I think the problems at LSU are a little deeper than a hot streak. The guys just haven't done what you expected them to do. And that's, you know, they got a little younger after last year, obviously. They lost the two best players in the country in Paul Skeens and, Dylan Cruz. Usually you're lucky if you have one of the best players in the country. They had two of them. Then they had Trey Morgan, the Gold Glover, and then they had Ty Floyd, the best number two probably in the country. So they lost a big chunk out of last year's national championship team. And they've had to put a lot of freshmen in there, and you don't never know how they're going to respond. The Larson kid is actually hitting pretty well in limited time. And some of them have performed well. But the guys you expected to carry the team have just not done it. Tommy White's having a decent year. Or a good year, I should say. Overall, we thought the offense would be better, and they just don't have enough pitching so far.
Todd, the thing that really jumps out at me is not being able to bring in people on base. That one thing over and over and over, that's been consistent on this team. It hasn't been a lot of consistency, but that's been there. You get guys on base and can't bring them in. And it's every game, and there are different situations, and it's a stat that now they keep with. But, man, that's troubling when you get some hits, you put people on base, and then you stuck two guys or three guys on base, you don't get nobody in.
Yeah, that one's a hard one to figure out. I've been doing this a long time, and a lot of that is just timely hitting luck in a way. Kind of, it's your time when you get up, you find a hole. Mostly it's fighters at the plate, right? Guys that don't strike out much. And as you've seen with this group, there's a lot of swing and miss in Jared Jones and Travinsky and, the middle of that order. And the Milam kid will fight you, but he doesn't have a lot of power. You know, Braswell will fight you a little bit, but he doesn't have a lot of power. So, it's just kind of an offense, like I said, that we expect a little more from. That's just not doing a whole lot. And Tommy White, I love his two-strike approach, and he'll fight you too, but there's a lot of upcut in that swing as well where, he's going to get a lot of fly ball outs and some home runs. But overall, I think you got to have nine guys that really dig in. And, you're seeing a lot of college baseball now where the kids get to two strikes and they look in the dugout and they beat their chest. That's what they call the two-strike fight, where they're going to battle with two strikes. And you're just not seeing a lot of that. Out of a lot of clubs in the SEC, not just LSU. But I think that is an issue. And Jay Johnson is an offensive guy. So he knows it. He's on top of it. He's communicated that. But, as we all know, whether you have kids of your own or not, a lot of times, believe it or not, they don't listen or they can't. I feel like they listen. I just don't know if a lot of them can apply what you say into a real scenario. And so I think that's what's happening with the offense. And, you know, Luke Holman's a real ace. You know, and Gay's jump has been a good number two, but they don't have a three. And if Gay's jump doesn't go six or seven, you turn it over to a bullpen. It's just not really that good.
Todd, you can't do anything about the pass, so you got to move on with it. You play Missouri, and, man, I give them credit. I don't know how talented they are across the board, but, man, they give you a lot of great effort, and they're a feisty group, Missouri. So you got to go on their turf, and you would hope maybe you could sweep a series. But, man, I'd be thrilled if they came out of this with two out of three.
Todd, even taking schedules into account, I don't think if I told you a couple weeks ago that Missouri would be two games ahead of LSU in the SEC standings, you would have believed me.
No, I don't think many people would have bought that.
If the season ended today, there's only two teams will be left out of the conference tournament. That's LSU and Auburn.
Right.
And Auburn. So Missouri's in by two games, to your point. I don't really focus on this weekend per se, but LSU's got 15 more games to get to 13 wins within the conference. So they've got three. They got to win 10 of the next 15 games to get into the field of 64 or even be considered. You got to get to that 13 win mark. 12 doesn't do it. 14, I think you're automatically in. 13, I think they put LSU in. But the conference tournament's the first goal. And let me tell you something about Missouri. They just swept Florida at home a few weeks ago. You walk into Columbia, Missouri, when you're used to 12,000 fans and you got 100 in the stands and the ballpark is not up to par with the rest of the conference, you feel like you should win. All those factors are negative factors, and it's tough. Playing Missouri in Columbia is much more difficult than playing them at home, I can promise you that. Yeah. So LSU's got their hands full again this weekend.
So, Todd, looking at the offensive struggles, we've talked a little bit about their poor hitting with runners in scoring position. In SEC play, I think it's well below the Mendoza line. I want to say it's around 193, if my numbers are correct. So you're looking at a couple of issues offensively. That's clearly one. But when we were talking with Scott Sanders a couple weeks ago, he pointed out something really interesting, and I completely agree with him. Jay's been tinkering with the lineup, and he still really hasn't found the consistent leadoff guy. Like, it's maybe Jared Jones had that really good performance in the midweek last week, and then he went into the Tennessee series as the leadoff guy, but he didn't really do much from that spot. So then Jay goes to Michael Braswell, you know, as in game three versus Tennessee, and then he makes another change. He goes to Paxton Kling in the midweek this week. And then, you know, further back, Mac Bingham's also had a shot there, Ethan Fry, all these different guys that he's tried to plug into that really important leadoff spot, and it just really hasn't worked out. So what are your kind of thoughts on that, and who do you think could really fill that role?
Milam is my best guess. Mac Bingham, you said, has been there a little bit. The problem with hitting and baseball in general is you've got to stick with a guy, not for two games, but for 20 games. Unfortunately, in college baseball, you only get 50. And you've got to really believe a kid in order to put him out there, and you can't stick with him. In pro baseball, you can stick with him for 50 games, and then, you know, that's a good sample size. But in college baseball, if you put them in for a couple games, they don't do it, and you pull them out, and you got all this going on, then nobody can really get a feel, and nobody can be consistent. I think Milam would be the answer, but I'm not positive that he could respond. He's a freshman, you know, and so, like I said, you never really know how freshmen are going to respond. But I think that is a good point. But I would argue you need a good two-hole, you need a good three-hole.
Yeah,
Texas A&M has all that. You know, Texas A&M has all that. Arkansas is getting it done without offense. They're 13th out of 14 teams offensively within the conference, Arkansas, and they still are 12-3. So you got to have a staff. Baseball is all pitching. Arkansas has it. A&M has it. Tennessee kind of has it. But you got to have pitching, man. And, again, if you're going without a number three. Now, LSU got it done last year without a number three. They just put it all together at the right moment. So that's why I mentioned the field of 64. Once you get to that point, it becomes an entirely new season, and nothing matters in the past. But before the field of 64, you got to get into the conference tournament, and that's what LSU's fighting for. But they got more issues than the leadoff guy. I think, you know, they give away a lot of free passes. The 190 with guys in scoring position is not good. But, again, I would like to see how many strikeouts they've had with guys in scoring position. I bet it's at the 30% mark, and that's way too high. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to put the ball in play in order to get hits. So there's a lot of issues going on right now. I can promise you this, though. Jay Johnson is grinding this thing out, man. I'm sure that he hasn't slept. He's probably got a bed in that office just trying to figure all this out, along with Nate Yeske, who I think is one of the better pitching coaches in the country, but it's his first year dealing with these kids. Sometimes it takes more than a few months to figure it all out. But Jay's trying as hard as he can. I texted him the other day, and I know that it's killing him not to figure this thing out. But in the end, the kids have to get it done, and so far they're just not.
Todd, I think to your point about Arkansas's pitching staff, I want to say their ERA is around like 2.6. And as you mentioned, that's incredible, a team ERA. It's like 0.8 points higher than like the second highest team. It's just incredible what they're doing. We saw it firsthand when the Tigers traveled to Fayetteville a couple weeks back. I mean, they're going to be the favorites, or at least one of the favorites. I know Texas A&M's playing some great ball right now as well, entering the postseason because of their pitching. So as you said, LSU definitely has a bunch of questions to answer. It's not just offensively, but also on the pitching side of things. As you said, like, Luke Holman is the ace. He's actually going to be pitching on Saturday again this weekend, kind of similar to what he did last weekend against Tennessee. He pitched on the second game. They'll be doing that again with Gage Drum taking that game one start for the Tigers. That was announced today. Game three is still TBA, like to be determined, to be announced. And just seeing what happened last weekend with Nate Ackenhausen and the start that he gave the Tigers in that Game 3 matchup against Tennessee, he's been kind of hit pretty hard out of the bullpen at times, but he was solid against a really good Volunteers offense, you know, in that lineup that he went on in Game 3. Is Nate Ackenhausen probably your answer right now for your Game 3 weekend starter?
You would have to believe he is after the performance you just mentioned last weekend. And that was his first start this year. His first start last year, I think, was against Tennessee in Omaha.
Right.
Where he went six and didn't walk anybody. So he seems to respond better to that starting role. I think he probably is the immediate answer, and you roll him out and see how far he can go. Luke Holman is very good. But he isn't Hagen Smith, right? He's not Ryan Prager from Texas A&M. Ryan Prager has a 15-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. I mean, go look that up. That's
insane. Oh, my goodness.
It's insane. I mean, if you're 3-1, it's, like, incredible. He's 15-1. So Ryan Prager, and then you match him up with Tanner Jones and Justin Lampkin. I mean, that three is dynamic. Kentucky has three guys in Poozer, Nyman. And then Mason Moore is their ace, but he's pitching in the third slot. So ace doesn't necessarily mean you're pitching on opening night. And they've got three solid guys, plus the bullpens. And back to Arkansas, their bullpen's sick, along with a world-class ace in Hagen Smith. And I think the Tiger kid has the best curveball in the country. I mean, he's a little erratic because his stuff's so good. I think you're gonna see a lot of Ty Floyd in him when it gets down to crunch time in the postseason, where he starts to really light it up. And then they got the Mason Molina kid. So Arkansas, not only can they start, but they can also have bullpen guys that come in and shut you down. And Tennessee's got two-thirds of that. But, again, the top three are A&M, Kentucky, and Arkansas. In the ERAs, by the way, within the conference, and they lead by record as well. So baseball's all pitching.
Todd, I know you've always brought up about pitching is king in baseball. When you look at the more complete team in the SEC, I think you've alluded to it, but I think you're somewhat leaning that direction of Texas A&M right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it went complete. Right?
Complete team.
Offense and pitching.
Yes. A&M would have to be that. I mean, Braden Montgomery is a true five-star, five-tool player. Chase LaViolette had 21 homers last year. He's got, like, what, 18 or 19 this year. He's got 40 home runs in 2 years. That's crazy. The Appel kid is backing everybody up in the four spot. He's hitting 360 or whatever. And then the Grahovac, the leadoff guy. So the top four are as good as anybody in the country. But Florida in 2017 had a team batting average of like 259, and they won the national championship because, to our point about LSU, it's timely hits. You don't have to bang out 15 hits. You don't have to hit 330 as a team. Well, that Tennessee is, by the way. Tennessee's hitting 340 or whatever as a team. That's crazy. But you don't have to do that. But you have to have the arms. Arkansas certainly has it. Texas A&M certainly has it. Kentucky. But and Kentucky, by the way, leads the league within the conference in hitting. They don't bash out a lot of homers, but average-wise, they lead the league in stolen bases, too, so they can create some havoc on the pass. But I think the complete team might be Texas A&M overall, but any of those three clubs can beat you on any given day.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting looking at Kentucky. Like, they've kind of come out of nowhere. 14-1 in the SEC. By the way, Missouri's the only team that's beaten them in conference play. Yep. That kind of stood out to me. But, yeah.
That was a 2-1 game.
Yeah, yes. It was really, really tight. But the thing about Kentucky is, like, they don't hit a ton of homers, but they a majority of the homers they hit have been against SEC pitching. Like, that stood out to me a little bit. And Kentucky, they're playing with a ton of confidence. I can't wait to watch what happens when they play Tennessee this weekend. That's a real premier series. My last question for you here, Todd, is about the LSU pitching staff, going back to your point about it all starts on the mound. LSU's got, like, one bullpen guy that's really, really stepped up this year, and that's been Griffin Herring in conference play. And the way that Jay's kind of used him behind Luke Holman, I really like that duo. But outside of that, like, who can you really count on? It was so unfortunate because when we were looking at this team, like, pre-conference play, like, that was one thing that stood out was their pitching depth. And it just really hasn't showed up against SEC squads.
On paper, they do have a talented team. I mean, Cam Johnson was the second-best left-hander in the country out of high school last year. He's got a 10 ERA. So that's why I say Nate Yeske knows what he's doing. So the communication lines are broken down right there somehow or another because Cam Johnson's talented. And on down the line, there's a ton of talent. Javon Coleman's been there long enough to have figured it out. And I think his ERA is north of 5, along with Gavin Guidry, who pitched, you know, the last out in Omaha. You would think these guys would have had a lot of confidence coming off of the national championship last year and start dealing this year. It just hasn't happened. I don't know. The answer to your question is that they don't really have anybody. I mean, look at the box scores, you know, when they play. I mean, they'll use 4 or 5 guys, and every one of them give up a run or two, every one of them. And so I don't know that they have a shutdown guy in the pen. Cade Anderson is a little fastball heavy. Last time I looked, he's using about 75 or 80% fastballs, which is good for a young kid. You know, it keeps you around the zone, but it's going to get hit around once hitters get you know, onto that deal that you're throwing too many fastballs. So that's Cade Anderson's issue, but they don't really have a lockdown guy, and that's an issue. And now, again, if last year's any indication, they can find it. They can find it real quick, and they can roll this thing out. But you got to get to the conference tournament first.
Todd, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights, buddy. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
all
righty. Todd.
SEC Network baseball analyst Todd Walker, former great at LSU, and man, this season has headed south, Charlie, and fast. You got a chance to pull it out, but man, it's going to take a lot of doing.
The route is tough, Mike.
It's going to be a difficult. I can say you can do it, but it's really, really difficult.
It's not impossible, right? But it's got to start this weekend.
It is the Mount Everest climb, man.
Yeah, it really is. And Todd talked a little bit about playing in Missouri is going to be tough. Like, you watch what they did to Florida just a couple weekends ago in Columbia. It's not going to be easy for LSU to go up there and even win the series, if not take even a sweep potentially, but they need to at least take 2 or 3. I think that's they got to start out with a series win. Just like you got to start gaining some confidence at some point.
I think Todd brought up a good point. It's much easier to play them at home than on the road. That's a totally different atmosphere in Columbia than it is when you play it in Baton Rouge.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.